Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, 8:40 on this Wednesday morning, the day after the filing deadline. If you want to run for public office in Michigan, you had to have had your petitions with their signatures in by the end of business yesterday. So it was kind of a busy day at the St. Clair County Clerk's office, I'm sure. Joining us right now is St. Clair County Clerk Jay DeBoyer. Good morning, Jay.
Paul, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Pretty active around your office for the last several days as all these petitions are out and being turned back in, huh?
Yeah, it has been. Yesterday was busy as usual. You know, we try to be as rapid as we can to get these things compiled, put together, and pushed out. But it's got a little busier and a little busier over the last couple of weeks as people have been filing for all the particular offices that are required to file with my office.
Of course, a lot of people looking at county commission. We got a lot of candidates for county commission this year, don't we?
Yeah, we do. You know, I think it's going to be, it's, you know, it's funny because now I've been, this will be my, I don't know, my 10th or 11th or 12th, you know, season through, you know, summer through filing, different filings, depending on the year. But this looks like it's going to be one of the busier election seasons, especially the August primary, you know, between candidates jumping in races at the commissioner level and, you know, proposals that'll be on the ballot. It's going to be a pretty active August.
It really is. Of course, there's been a lot of attention paid to how we do elections here in Michigan and every other state for the last couple of years. And I know there have been some changes and attempts to change that at the legislative level in Lansing. A lot of county clerks I'm hearing are saying, look, we do need some change, maybe not all the change that the legislature is proposing. What would you like to see done differently in how we run elections in Michigan, Jay?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, I mean, it's my position since I've been the county clerk has been that the election integrity, the sanctity of, you know, my vote, your vote, everyone's vote is my most important duty as the county clerk. As you know, we have a litany of other responsibilities in that office. But at the end of the day, every other thing that occurs in government resides on the fact that we trust the outcome of our elections. Because if we don't trust the outcome of our elections, you know, the mandate for authority, the mandate for decision is lost. So that's been my top priority since I've been the county clerk. It always has been. You know, in 2018, we passed a proposal that, you know, created a scenario that, you know, no reason AV is allowed and all those types of things. Now, face value, it's hard to argue with no reason AV. It does make things simpler for people to be able to cast their ballot. However, I think we saw some knee-jerk reactions in 2020 that because of the scenario that we were in with the coronavirus, I think people swung in extreme directions. I think there were some behaviors that occurred by elected officials that I think, you know, didn't really think about the idea of the sanctity of that election. Now, you know, debatably, you could go either way politically, right? You could be on one extreme or the other and have your philosophy about that. But at the end of the day, what I think is important from an election integrity perspective is, number one, I got to be certain that the person that's casting a ballot is the person they claim to be. I have always been, will continue to be pro valid identification to prove who you are. I think that that's the least we can do, you know, for the sanctity of our elections. That proposal three that was passed in 2018, that's a constitutional amendment.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't just a suggestion. You know, the people of the state voted. They chose to do those things. Agree or disagree, I execute them according to the law that I have to abide by. So, you know, I think we have to really look at the behaviors internally at the clerk's offices. We do have a lot of safeguards in place for being certain that things like tabulators are accurate. I do think if we're going to expand AV voting like we did with the proposal in 2018, we have to be certain that those ballots, when they're coming back, are coming back from the person that they were issued to. I don't think that that's that's by any way a stretch or a behavior that is attempting to impede someone's ability to vote. I think everybody wants a fair outcome. And I think that anybody that wants to talk about making it easier, quote unquote easier, without talking about making it safer, I think that's disingenuous. I want it to be easier to vote, but I want it to be safer to vote. And if I have to make a decision at some point, which you know you do have to make a decision in those conversations at some point, you know, safety versus ease, I will always err on the side of safety. Because, again, what I said initially is that the election process and the outcome of that election has to be certain to the effect that the citizens trust it, regardless of whether their candidate won or didn't win.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's a little long-winded, Paul, but that's kind of where I look at that process at.
I appreciate that. I think you're right. It's a careful balance to strike, isn't it, between, an election that, you know, easy or you know, more accessible, I guess, to people to vote, as opposed to, the potential for fraud. It's really hard to strike that balance.
It is a balancing act. And I will raise my hand and I will say to you that when Prop 3 was on the ballot in 2018, I was not in favor of it. And it wasn't that I was not in favor of the idea of making voting, you know, more accessible or easier. It was because the idea of fraud in the election process, which, you know, we all lived through 2020 and we watched that entire thing play out. From someone who runs an election and understands where the checks and balances are at, the weakest link in an election are AV ballots, bar none. If someone had their mindset to commit fraud in an election, that is the easiest, lowest hanging fruit. Now, I'll be very candid and say that I'm not even making a claim or an allegation. All I'm saying is, you know, I believe that if you want the benefit and the ease and the luxury of AV voting, you should couple that with understanding there's going to be higher scrutiny on it. I've always told people who have asked me, if you want certainty about your vote, go to the polling location. Just for the simple fact that a ballot is simple as being lost in the U.S. mail, right?
Sure.
I have a philosophy, take those risks away. If you really, really, at the end of the day, want to be certain. But that's not to say that AV voting doesn't play a very integral part and a very necessary part of our election process.
Sure.
It absolutely does.
Right.
But, you know, we have people, you know, the joke that I always laugh about is, you know, when we play a football game, an NFL football game, we have referees because we know inherently people in the game are going to potentially cheat. So to believe that there's not people in the world who are nefarious enough to want to cheat at an election, I think is naive. And, we need to pay attention to those kind of things.
Certainly will be a lot of scrutiny in this election, I know, as there has been since 2020. Real quick, Jay, I want to mention that you are throwing your hat in for the newly created District 63 state representative seat.
Yes, I am. I'll tell you from a professional perspective, the decision to do this was probably one of my hardest professional decisions that I've ever made, because I enjoy my job as the St. Clair County Clerk. I have a fantastic staff. You know, if you talk to people who have regular interaction with our office, they'll tell you good things about our office. They'll tell you that our office runs in a manner that you should expect a governmental office to run. I treat the people that come through the doors at our office like customers. I treat them with respect. And I treat them with efficiency, and I look out for my budget, consistently under budget. So I enjoy my job there. at the end of the day, the reason I decided to run is because of this whole election discussion. You know, county clerks were at the center of scrutiny in 2020. And the irony of it is that we do not have a county clerk or a former county clerk as a legislator at the state of Michigan.
Mm.
So we don't have a person as a legislator that has run an election. I do believe there's one township clerk that's currently, and forgive me if my numbers might be off here slightly, but I believe there's one township clerk who's currently a legislator.
Hmm.
And so legislators that are passing laws in affecting the election process with never being intimately involved in executing an election, to me, is just bad business. And so I decided to do it. Because of that, I believe that somebody has to raise their hand and go there and understand that side of the process. Because frankly, I'm not doing it for a career move. I'm not doing it for a job. I'm not doing it for a pay raise. I'm not doing it for any of those things. Because I really do love my job as county clerk. But at the end of the day, I guess I'm fortunate enough to be able to make a decision to do this. And so I'm going to do it.
I can imagine that your frustration level at times in the last couple of years has probably been off the charts as just from a political standpoint, because this unfortunately has become a very hot button political issue, you know, whether or not you thought there was quote unquote fraud or you know, an election stolen in 2020. You're in the trenches. You know how this stuff works, and it's not as it's been portrayed.
Well, that's correct. Now, you know, the irony of it is that if you ask me, did fraud occur in an election, I will say to you, oh, yes, because fraud occurs in every election to some degree. Someone fills out, you know, their spouse's ballot, right? Or someone
sure.
steals a ballot out of a mailbox. Or those things occur in every election. That's why we have to have, you know, mitigation things in place to be able to deal with those kinds of circumstances. At the same time, I don't want to weaken our standards because we believe that fraud is not at a heightened level. Our standards need to be strong. That's called a deterrent. It prevents people from wanting to commit fraud. And so, you know, there are areas, there are gaps and holes in election law that if you wanted to commit fraud, you could step through those holes and have a possibility of being able to execute those. And those are the things that as a state legislator, I want to be in that discussion to close those holes. Because regardless of whether fraud occurred or didn't occur, the hole still needs to be closed. And so, you know, when I'm asked things like, did tabulators flip votes? You know, first of all I can say is that I represent St. Clair County, and I can best give my answer regarding St. Clair County. And I can tell you that in St. Clair County, those tabulators and the results of those tabulators were checked and double-checked. The other thing, the beautiful thing about our process in Michigan, which I am a tremendous advocate for, is the paper ballot. There are some states that are digital voting, which I just think is a tremendously bad idea. The paper ballot at the end of the day is always there. If I have a tabulator that doesn't produce results that I believe are accurate, I can always go to my paper ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that I will never, ever walk away from that idea. So, you know, the fraud idea of 2020, you know, there's things I believe, there's things I think, there's things I know, there's things I can prove.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day in the state of Michigan, you know, we had a county that, we watched play out on a national level, Antrim County, that I believe was the impetus of the discussion of tabulators flipping votes.
Yeah.
The irony of it is that I know what occurred there firsthand. And, if anybody cared to have the discussion that really sincerely wants to know the truth as opposed to just be a political talking point,
right.
I can explain it to them. I can explain it in depth to them. I can tell them how the process works and why it occurred.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I think the thing that upsets me the most about the election process and what occurred in 2020 is that we have turned the execution of the election into a political pawn.
Right.
And we used to, as Americans, we used to allow the clerks, the elections officials, to execute their election. We put them in there, either voted, you know, from a township or a county perspective, or maybe appointed from a city perspective. We put them in there, let them run the elections, and we trusted the results. Well, we're now dragging the process into politics, and that concerns me. And that's part of my reason for wanting to go to Lansing.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And we appreciate everything you've done as a clerk. And I know we'll talk again before the primary, and we wish you all the best on the campaign trail, Jay. And I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much. I know it's been a really busy time there at the clerk's office. So and hopefully now all the petitions are in, the dust will settle at least for a minute, right?
Yeah, we have a little bit of calm before the August election, so we'll be working on that side of it for the next couple of months here. But, Paul, thank you for your time.
Jay, thank you. Appreciate it very much. Bye-bye.